today I would like to illustrate how this killing ability of lymphocytes is important, of course, for host defense, as you know, but also maybe more important to maintain our immune hemostasis and maybe our survival. So as you know, the ability of a host to fight pathogen depend on the combination of innate and adaptive immunity, B and T lymphocyte being the major actor of this adaptive immunity. And genetic disorders which affect the developmental program of the lymphocyte, and many of them are indicated here, or some of them, in fact. And this lead to a strong predisposition to infection, generally with a broad range of pathogen. There is other inherited disorders which more specifically or selectively affect effector function of lymphocyte. And their study provide very revealing and sometimes unexpected finding regarding infectious immunity. And this is a case for a group of disorders which specifically affect the cytotoxic activity of lymphocyte, T lymphocyte, and natural killer. And the defect lead to a unique phenotype, which is called hemophagocytic lymphohistiocytosis, or HLH. And as you probably know also, naive CD8 T cells need about 5 to 8 days after recognizing a variant antigen in secondary lymphoid organ to expand, differentiate into cytotoxic lymphocyte, which then will migrate to the affected tissue. And during this differentiation step, in lymphocyte, lytic protein like perforin granzyme are synthesized and stored in cytotoxic granules, which will be the arm of the cytotoxic activity. And during this process also, cytotoxic lymphocyte gain the ability to secrete inflammatory cytokines like interferon gamma or TNF-alpha. And it appears that this granule-dependent cytotoxic activity, when defective in the subject or defect in the cytotoxic activity, they do not present an overwhelming viral infection, but instead an hyperreactive immune system which characterizes HLH. Indeed, HLH manifests as an overactive immune system, which overactivation of polyclonal T lymphocyte and overactivation of macrophage with a high level of pro-inflammatory cytokine. And all the clinical and biological manifestations which characterize HLH, in fact, are only the consequence of this overactivation of T lymphocyte and macrophage, this hypercytokinemia, and the fact that these activated cells infiltrate the various organs, including the central nervous system, leading to tissue destruction, organ failure, and death in absence of immunosuppressive treatment. And since a long time, it has been shown that a patient who develops such immune disturbance have a very high level of inflammatory cytokines like interferon gamma, TNF-alpha, IL-12, IL-18, which normalize during the remission phase of the disorder. And also this mononuclear cellular infiltrate in the various organs, here the liver, which comprise activated macrophages with spontaneously phagocytic blood element, as shown here in the liver or here in the cerebrospinal fluid, with macrophages have been phagocytosis, red blood cells, lymphocyte, polymorphonuclear, a process known as hemophagocytosis. And in this organ, which are infiltrated, there is an activated macrophage with secret high level of inflammatory cytokine, here TNF-alpha, L6, as well as CD8 T cells, which secret high level of interferon gamma. And this same immune disturbance can be induced in cytotoxicity deficient mice, which have the same genetic disorder as in humans, by infecting these mice with leukocyte meningitis virus, which is a potent activator of the immune system in the mice. And similarly, these mice develop similar HLH manifestation, immunopathology, and eventually die 2 or 3 weeks later as humans from this manifestation. And this cytotoxicity deficient mice have helped to understand the critical effector of this immune pathology, showing that the CD8 population is critical, since when these cytotoxicity deficient mice are depleted of the CD8 population, this prevents the development of the disease, and this mice survive. Whereas when they are depleted of a CD4 population, or even the NK cytotoxic lymphocyte, this has no effect, and these mice die from HLH, and I will come back to this point later. And among the various inflammatory cytokines which are produced during this immune disturbance, only the neutralization of interferon gamma is able to prevent the, this immune disturbance, and even it's, we show that it can also treat this immune disturbance in the mice, whereas the neutralization of the other inflammatory cytokine has no effect. Though, thus, the presence of the CD8 population, T cells, and the high level of interferon gamma this lymphocyte produce are critical in the development of this immune disturbance. And the various studies which were performed in human and mice have helped to understand the molecular cellular pathophysiology of this immune disturbance called HLH. In the physical context, the CD8 population which respond to an infectious trigger activate, expand, and use this killing ability as well as secretion of interferon gamma to terminate an immune response, clear the virus, and after virus clearance, only a small number of memory lymphocytes persist. During the course of an HLH, this T lymphocyte population which respond to an infectious trigger activate, and this failure to kill antigen-presenting cells and infected cells result in a sustained immune activation, the production of a high level of interferon gamma, which is a potent activator of macrophages. And overactivated macrophages secrete high level of pro-inflammatory cytokine, and together with activated lymphocytes, infiltrate the virus organ and leading to this death in absence of treatment and cellular infiltration. So this cytotoxic activity of lymphocytes contribute to the termination of an immune response, likely by eliminating the downregulating antigen stimulation by elimination of the cell which lead to this antigen stimulation. But it has been proposed that it's possible that other mechanisms of cytotoxicity occur, participate. It has been proposed that cytotoxic cells can themselves kill themselves by suicide. However, this mechanism is probably less likely given the fact that in HLH patients which are treated by allogeneic bone marrow transplantation, it has been shown that only a few functional T lymphocytes from the donor is sufficient to prevent or to cure the disease in the patient, showing that these cytotoxic cells have a transdominant effect on other cells. Another mechanism which may occur is CTLs killing other neighboring CTLs they can recognize. And this fratricide mechanism has been shown to operate in vitro. It has been shown that in fact, the killing ability of cytotoxic cells requires the formation of a conjugate between the cytotoxic cells and target cells. And after the killing process, when the two cells detach, these cytotoxic cells are able to capture fragments of the membrane of the target cells, which contain MHC class 1 loaded with peptide, making these cytotoxic cells transform target cells for other cytotoxic cells which are neighboring. And thus, if this fratricide mechanism, which can be shown to occur in vitro, is also relevant in vivo, it can also participate to the termination of an immune response. Recently, it was also shown that this conjugate formed between cytotoxic cells and antigen-presenting cells, in absence of cytotoxicity, the cell-cell contact is prolonged, and this induces an increased stimulation and secretion of cytokine by cytotoxic cells, which also may participate to this overreactive immune response. indeed, the killing ability of lymphocyte depend on the polarization and the secretion of the polarized secretion of cytotoxic granules which contain perforin and granzyme. First, cytotoxic cells scan neighboring cells, and when they recognize a cognate target cell, they form a transon conjugate. And at the cell-cell contact, they rapidly form what's called an immunological synapse, which localize in the periphery ring of actin and adhesion molecules, whereas in the center localize signaling molecules and molecules which will recognize the antigens of the target cells. And this is adjacent to what is called a secretory zone where the granules will be transported and will dock. And thus, following minutes of immunological synapse formation, the microtubule organizing center and the lytic granules which contain perforin granzyme polarize toward this immunological synapse. Lytic granules dock in this secretory zone and release their contents into a small cleft, which is transiently formed between the two cells. And delivery of perforin allows the entrance of granzyme into the target cells, and rapid apoptosis of the target cell ensues. And thus, defect in this granule-dependent cytotoxic activity characterize several monogenic immune disorders, which lead to this immune pathology called HLH. And here's an example of this killing ability of cytotoxic cells, which have here cytotoxic granules, which are labeled in green, and which recognize target cells. I hope I will be able to do. And you can see that very rapidly, these cytotoxic granules are polarized toward the target cells, which will become becomes red when dying in this experiment, as you can see. And you will notice that after the killing process, there is still several granules which remain in the cytotoxic cells, these cells being able to repeatedly kill several target cells. And thus, several inherited disorders affect the cytotoxic activity. One of these due to B allelic mutation in the lytic protein, the gene which encodes for this lytic protein perforin, which are inside the granules and is required for the access of granzyme into the cytoplasm target cells, and thus regulate the ultimate step of the cytolytic activity. The characterization of the other cause leading to this inherited immune disorder allowed to characterize key step and critical effector which was required either for the maturation of the cytotoxic granules or the secretion of their contents at the immunological synapse during the killing process. So I will not detail these various causes leading to HLH, but very rapidly to take two examples. One is due to B allelic mutation in the small GTPase, RAP37A, and defect in this GTPase affect the ability of lymphocytes here from different patients to exercise the content of the granules, secrete granzyme A. But this defect in RAP37A does not affect the formation of the complex between cytotoxic cells and target cells, neither the polarization of the cytotoxic granules. But when analyzed, this complex analyzed at the electron microscopic level, it appears that although polarized, these lytic granules seem unable to reach the plasma membrane at the immunological synapse here, cytotoxic cells and target cells, remaining a certain distance, which in contrast to lytic granules in control cytotoxic cells conjugated to the target cells, which allowed to propose that RAP37A is required for this terminal transport or docking of cytotoxic at the immunological synapse. And this patient also have a characteristic hypopigmentation, which in fact reflects the role of RAP37A in the transport of other type of vesicles, which are melanosome containing the melanin, the pigment, in the melanocyte, and which should be transported to the periphery of the dendrite of melanocyte for proper skin pigmentation. The second example is due to B allelic mutation in a gene called MUNX34, which is a member of the MUNX13 family, where the other first three members are mainly expressed in the brain and regulate the secretion of neurotransmitters at the neurological synapse. In contrast, MUNX34 is more ubiquitously expressed, and especially expressed in cytosic lymphocytes, and its defects similarly affect the ability of this lymphocyte to secrete the content of their granules. But this time, in absence of MUNX34, lytic granules, as you can see here, have been able to reach the plasma membrane at the immunological synapse and are tightly docked. But in contrast to what can be seen in controlled cytosic cells, where fusion event of these granules can be seen as well as the release of the content into the small cleft, such event was never observed in absence of MUNX34, allowing to propose that MUNX34 play a role as a priming factor which confer to these cytosic granules the ability to fuse their membrane with the plasma membrane and release their contents. And the characterization of the other cause leading to such inherited disorders have similarly allowed to identify proteins which are required for the maturation of the cytosic granules, like LIST, or for the ultimate step of the fusion of their membrane with the plasma membrane, like syntaxin 11 or MUNC82. And thus have shown that this mechanism of cytolysis is a very tightly regulated mechanism, which requires a sequence of molecular event before a cytosic granules can be transported, docked, primed, and fuse the membrane with the plasma membrane. And this mechanism is even more complex, since when we look to the localization of some of these effectors, like MUNX34 and RAPT7A, they are localized intracellularly on vesicles, but surprisingly, they were not localized directly on the vesicle which contain the lytic protein, granzyme, and perforin, which are lysosome compartment, but they're localized first on endosomal compartment, late endosome and recycling endosome. And thanks to a second role of MUNX34 upstream of its function as a priming factor as a immunological synapse, there is a formation of a small endosomal compartment which is specialized in the regulatory secretory pathway, and that we call exocytic vesicles, since it carry effector of lytic granule exocytosis. And thus, to exercise their content, these lytic granules, which contain perforin granzyme, need to cooperate with these exocytic vesicles, and this occurs only when cytotoxic cells recognize the cognate target cells, form a conjugate, which lead to the polarization of the two types of vesicles toward the cell-cell contact, as it is shown here on confocal analysis, showing that the two types of vesicles, the exocytic vesicles and the cytosic granules containing perforin granzyme, polarize at the cell-cell contact and only at the closest zone of the cell-cell contact strongly overlap and likely fuse into more mature cytosic granules as supported by electromicroscopic analysis, showing that near the plasma membrane at the immunological synapse, few lytic granules containing perforin granzyme are decorated in their limiting membrane by marker of the exocytic vesicle, suggesting that they result from the fusion of the two types of vesicles. And thus, this mechanism of cytolysis appear to be tightly regulated and need a multi-step maturation step of the cytosic granules before it can resist contents, which have probably several functions. It may potentially allow to prevent the release of inappropriate release of lytic protein and their bystander deleterious effect. It may also allow these lytic granules, which are lysosome compartment, to function as conventional lysosome and be able to degrade unused lytic protein if not required. But this late maturation step of these lytic granules also may allow to tightly regulate the mechanism of cytolysis by delivery only a certain quantum of mature cytosic granules which will be able to resist the contents. And by limiting the quantum of granules mature to deliver the content, they enable these cells with the ability to repeatedly kill several target cells, which is a well characteristic of these serial killers. Actually, it is the number of lytic granules which reach their contents per target cells have not been estimated, but it may vary according to the strength of cell stimulation. So it is difficult to assess the minimum level of cytotoxicity which is required to preserve immune homeostasis. Some conditions characterized by partial cytotoxicity help to approach this, to address this issue. Inherited defect in the cytotoxicity pathway affect the cytosic activity of both T lymphocyte and natural killer cells. But are these two types of cytosic cells similarly important to maintain immune homeostasis? To try to address this question, we have generated mice, chimeric mice, which in which cytotoxicity defect were restricted either to NK cells or T lymphocyte, and compared their ability to develop immune disturbance, immune pathology, and IgH manifestation, as compared to control or fully cytotoxicity deficient mice. And we observe that when the cytotoxicity defect is restricted to NK cells, LCMV infection does not induce IgH manifestation. What we observe only is a leukocytosis with especially an increased number of activated lymphocytes which respond to LCMV as compared to control mice. And these mice are able to clear the virus in contrast to mice with which are fully cytotoxicity deficient. Thus, NK cells, cytosic activity in NK cells, then seems required for the clearance of LCMV, but seems to control the proportion of activated lymphocytes which respond to this virus. On the other side, when cytotoxicity defect was restricted to T cells, LCM infection induced HLH manifestation, but the severity of this HLH manifestation was reduced as compared to fully cytotoxicity deficient mice. And this can be observed, especially here on the survival rate of this mice, since, as you can see, perforin knockout mice infected with LCMV all die during the first 3 weeks following LCMV, whereas the same mice with cytotoxicity proficient NK cells all survive, and this is really due to NK cell population, since depletion again of these NK cells with a specific antibody restores the severity of the HLH manifestation and in particular the survival. The serum level of cytokine was not significantly different between fully cytotoxic deficient mice and mice with cytotoxicity restricted to T lymphocyte. And the best improvement in HLH manifestation was observed mainly on the number of activated CD8, which was proliferate in response to LCMV, which was significantly different, as well as the infiltration of the organ with activated macrophage, which was also clearly reduced when cytotoxicity was restricted to T lymphocyte. Interestingly, this reduction in the severity of HLH manifestation was independent of the viral load, viral clearance, since similar viral load was observed in fully cytotoxic deficient mice or in mice with cytotoxic deficiency restricted to T cells. And thus it appears that the two types of cytotoxic lymphocytes, natural killer cells and T lymphocytes, participate both to the maintenance of immune homeostasis, but the role differ. this finding and additional one suggest that in the context of LCMV infection, the cytosic T lymphocytes are critical for the clearance of virus and the downregulation of antigen stimulation, which is whereas NK cells don't seem to control viral clearance, but seems essential or important, I would say, to limit the number of activated T lymphocytes which respond to LCMV and thus to prompt a physiological immune response. The cause leading to HLH affects this granule-dependent cytosic activity. but the intensity of the cytotoxicity impairment differ as according to the genes and thus the protein affected. The most intense cytotoxic defect is associated with perforin deficiency, absence of perforin function, whereas syntaxin 11 deficiency or LIS deficiency lead to impaired cytotoxic activity, but with some leakiness in this impairment. And we observe that both in humans and in mice, there is a correlation between the intensity of the cytotoxic defect and the severity of HH manifestation. And this can be illustrated here on the time course of HLH onset in the patient, showing that in association with absence of perforin function, the mean age of HLH onset is around 2 months, whereas in association with syntaxin 11 deficiency, the mean age of HLH onset is around 2 years, which is quite an important, significant difference. And this difference in this correlation between cytotoxic deficiency and severity of HLH manifestation can also be observed if we look to the difference in the nature of the mutation observed in the patient for a given gene. For example, for perforin deficiency, patients with a null mutation, total absence of perforin function, have an onset of the disease very early, before 3 months of age, sometimes newborn or even in fetus. Whereas patients with missense mutation, especially when some partial activity can be detected in vitro, have a delayed onset of HLH. And the oldest case so far reported is a man of 62 years, who developed first manifestation of HLH at 62 years, and as you can see, was associated with a significant residual activity of cytosic activity here, as compared to two control here at the same effector target ratio. And in this context of late HLH onset, infection by Epstein-Barr infection is a frequent trigger of this late onset HLH, and you know that EBV infection is again strongly stimulates the immune system, and that during the acute phase, up to 50% of the T lymphocyte, CD T lymphocyte population can be specific to EBV epitope. And with the availability of next generation sequencing technology, there is an increasing number of sporadic patient, HLH patients, especially adult patients, which are shown to carry heterozygous mutations, monolic mutations, in one or several of the genes which affect the cytosic pathway, suggesting that addition of heterozygous mutation in different genes may potentially have a functional impact. So this concept is difficult to demonstrate in human, but we use murine model of HLH with a cytosic defect, and by intercrossing these mice, we generated mice with a monolithic mutation in one or a combination of two or three genes which affect the cytosic pathway, and look whether LCMV infection will induce immune disturbance. And what we observe is that although monoallelic mutation in only one gene has no effect, and we did not see any difference with control mice, cumulative introduction of mutation, heterozygous mutation in two or three genes, progressively impaired cytosic activity and progressively induced the appearance of immune disturbance like HLH manifestation. And this is illustrated here, looking to the survival rate, where, as you can see, there's impairment of the survival rate in mice with monolithic mutation in two or three genes as compared to one gene or perforin knockout mice. And in contrast to mice with which are BMLIC mutation in any of these genes which affect the cytosic pathway, which are unable to clear the virus, these mice with monolithic mutation in two or three genes are able to clear the virus, but there is a delay in virus clearance. And thus, this finding shows that polygenic defect may also be a mechanism that impairs lymphocyte cytotoxicity, and that accumulation of half dose of K effector of the cytotoxic pathway increase the likelihood to impair immune homeostasis. And thus, just to conclude, it seems that this immune disturbance which results from defective cytotoxic activity is a threshold disease. When the cytotoxic defect is very strong, is intense, as a result, for example, of biallelic mutation, a null mutation in one of these genes, this immune disturbance occurs very early, severe, very often, in young children, it is difficult to evidence an infectious trigger, suggesting that maybe, in this case, all the non-infectious trigger may also contribute. In the context where there is a residual cytotoxic activity which is preserved as a result of biallelic hypomorphic mutation or monoallelic mutation in more than one gene, the relative weight of additional genetic factor or environmental factor is greater. And in this context, EBV infection is a frequent trigger of this in this context of this HLH with residual cytotoxic activity, and is required to reach this threshold. And we cannot exclude that with an extreme stimuli, only monoallelic mutation or even any individual will be able to develop such immune disturbance, but this is only a hypothesis. And this overall risk is probably increased by the addition of other genetic factors, which tend to promote excessive immune response, and among them, genetic factor controlling inflammatory process can probably contribute. So it's up here, and just mention the people in my group who've participated to this study, and especially Fernando Sepulveda, who did all this study in the main model of HLH, but also Gail Menaché, Sophia Machalidi. In the past, several PhD students participated to the characterization of these various effectors leading to HLH, Marjorie Cotte, Michael Ménager, Jérôme Felmad, Elodie Pastural. Thanks also to Alain Fischer for its constant interest in this topic. Grâce à Pozzo did the electromicroscopic analysis of this conjugate, and also thanks to all the physicians who take care of this patient we analyze, and thank you for your attention.